Wow, that you just did that perfect, Pastor Jim.
Well, thank you.
You came out right on the right second for the station ID. Amazing.
Well, praise God. I guess after all these years, I'm getting
used
to it.
You're getting used to it, right? You know, we love being on the radio. I've had people say, well, don't you get tired of having to go to the radio station every Sunday and every Thursday night? We'll tell you about our Thursday night show. But the answer is no. I love it. Every single time, I love it. And on the website, I wrote a little thing on one page about how we got started, or how I got personally got started in radio back in the mid-90s. No, late 80s in Newcastle, Indiana, when I was on Faith 99. Did you know about Faith 99, Muncie Radio, Christian radio
by
station?
By that time, I was living in Chicago.
Okay. And so I was one of the first shows there every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And then we bumped to also the Anderson radio station in Indiana and had a 30-minute there, too. But I love to talk about that because back then I went into a little cubicle with a great big reel-to-reel recorder, which one of those great big old reels, and I engineered myself, and like I am here, but this is so much better here on high tech. Back then it was not like that. And I would record it, then copy it, tape it over on another machine, and then drive that copy to Anderson, Indiana, which was not far, but I mean, it's 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, thankfully not too far from Muncie, but
life has changed, and we love radio. We love this means that reaches around the globe now. So welcome to our second hour of Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my amazing, wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. It's usually two people with me, but on Easter and Christmas, we just do the shows, give people a day off, and we tend to do that and all that. So anyway, we're glad you're here. We've got a whole lot more to talk to you about in Matthew chapter 27 and 28. If you have your Bible, you can go there. And we also want to just remind you of our Thursday night show very briefly. Dr. Angel and I do a show called Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life, every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. We are this week on part four of Coping with the COVID Calamity. You like that title?
I like that title.
I know. It kind of developed the first night. Coping with the COVID Calamity. If you you can go to YouTube.com and look for, again, BOHM Global.
Right.
Right, and you'll see some of those shows right there. Or you can go here to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and go to Go Yard. You will find those. So we're glad you're joining us, and we've got a great show. We got a great show in progress. I meant to say a great song, Pastor Jim, but we do have a great show in progress.
I bet we have both, yeah.
I think we have both. I Know That My Redeemer Lives, Nicole Mullen. I love this old song.
That my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives to me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives, my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of. And grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives, my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives to bring
God. an old hymn for you, Pastor Jim.
No, I love my hymns.
You do.
Well, we did two of them this morning.
I know. They're good. They have not, their place.
It's not Resurrection Sunday without lowing the gravy, though.
I know.
Christ
and
the
we
Lord
did that
is risen today.
Today. And we sure did those. We're going to do the Hallelujah Chorus, people, in a little while. So you want to stick around for that. Because if there is a song that says Easter, Resurrection Day, it's the Hallelujah Chorus. Many years ago, when I was a little kid, my dad was a pastor in Marion, Indiana, before we went to the mission field. And he was a part of a huge Marion, Indiana choir on Resurrection morning, and they were in the field house in Marion, Indiana, the high school field house, and they had a play, kind of reenactment of Resurrection morning, and they sang Handel's Messiah. And so my dad, who loved to sing, was always, every year until we moved to Central America, he was always going to practice, and that resurrection morning, all of his brothers and sisters and my grandparents and all of us went and sat on the bleachers and were part of Handel's Messiah on Resurrection Day. And it was a great memory.
Yeah, when I was in choir in high school, we always sang that.
Yeah, it's great. We're going back to Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdalene and other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. There's a couple places that make it sound like it was Mary, the mother of James and John, and then one place that says Mary, the mother of Joseph and James, which I think was Mary, the mother of Jesus also. No?
Well, it could have been, but Mary was a really common name.
Well, it is in Central America, too. Remember what I told y'all when I came back from Puebla this time?
Right. Okay.
Every child was named Mary.
I was just looking up. In Mark, it says, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome.
Yeah.
Let's see who Luke has, because we know John just has Mary and a couple of unnamed women.
Yeah.
Let's see who Luke, because, I mean, each of the accounts, they focus in on different people.
Right. Until we get a full picture of what was
picture.
Going on.
So, in Luke chapter 24, let's see. It just says they.
Okay, they. Okay, well, there you go.
Then they went and told the disciples. Returning from the tomb in verse 9, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them.
Okay.
So the other James could have been the other James in, you know, there were a couple of Jameses in the band.
Right.
In the 11. Could have been
his mother. Yeah, we don't know. But
they were real, though, because Mary was a really common name.
Right. We know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at the cross.
Right. We don't know that she went to the tomb.
We do not know that. But behold, there was a great earthquake in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the boulder back and sat upon it. We know the boulder was there. If you look at the end of Matthew 27, I mentioned this in the Facebook post and the YouTube this morning. It was there because all those religious leaders that had decided to crucify Jesus were afraid that the disciples would come and steal his body. So they put a great big boulder in front of it so the disciples couldn't steal the body and say he was a resurrected Lord. But, you know, that didn't stop Jesus from being the resurrected Lord, did it, Pastor Jim?
No, it didn't. He just walked right through that rock.
He just did. I love it. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning. This is the angel. His garments as white as snow. You know, you just can't even begin to fathom what that angel looked like. Lightning? His appearance was like lightning? His garments as white as snow?
Yeah, I'm thinking just flashing. I mean,
yeah, it had to be so bright, almost blinding. Bolts.
Yeah, because think about it, lightning can often be blinding, especially if you're really close to it.
Sure.
So here's this blindingly glorified, all I can think of is glorified angel.
Yeah. Well, this was an important task this angel had.
Right, and rolled the stone away, and I love the fact, just, well, okay, fine, I'm just going to sit right on top of it.
And you know, it's just a flick of the wrist. That's all it was. Well, it was not like, let's get some help here.
Right. It's not like the angel needed anybody else's help.
Yeah.
And it's important to note, too, the angel broke the law by moving that stone because it had been sealed.
Oh, yeah.
With a wax imprint, probably of Pontius Pilate, because he was the procurator. It was sealed. Nobody without his authority could open it. And I'm sure the angel just looked at it and said, oh, pish posh.
Yeah.
And just, you know, moved it.
Pish posh. Okay. And he did. He just moved it away. And now I love verse 4 of Matthew 28. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him who, the angel, that they were agitated and trembled and became like dead men. I believe they went down in the spirit. I believe they were out cold. They were like dead men. They were just boom. There's an angel, and the whole thing is just probably just knocked them right off of their feet.
Right. Well, think how John describes when they came to the garden to get Jesus.
Right. Same thing. They fell down.
Right. They fell down because they say, "Who are you looking for?" He said. Jesus said. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Then he said, "I am."
And when he said, "I am,"
they
bam,
just fell backward.
They fell down. We've seen people fall in services under the power of God. The angel said to the women, "Do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He's not here. He's not in the tomb. There's no tomb that we can go visit."
Well, there is, but it's empty.
Well, it's true. Yeah. But I mean, Jesus is gone. He is not here. He right. has risen as he said he would do. There we are again. God tells you he's going to do it, and he does it. And then he says, oh, yeah, he did what he told you he's going to do.
Right. And then he says, come and see the place where he lay.
Yeah.
Come and take a look in here so that you know for sure he's not here. And I like that because I forget which of the Gospels it is. It's Matthew, back up in 27, verse 60. 61, verse 61, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were seated there facing the tomb. One of the other theories that gets put out about the resurrection, how it was, you know, it didn't happen, was that they went to the wrong tomb. Now, they're sitting there looking at the tomb. They know which tomb it is.
Right.
So, no, that one doesn't fly either. I'm sorry.
Woo, he's not here. He has risen. As he said he would do, come see the place where he did lay, where he lay. Then go quickly and tell. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to get this song in here right now, God's Not Dead by Newsboys. And I'll tell you why. because we did the old hymn for Pastor Jim. This is for me and for my grandson Mason. Because I have him on video when he was about 3 and a half and in the car seat behind his mother going to take his brother to school. And he is singing, God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside.
Roaring like a lion.
Roaring like a lion. That's as far as he gets in that video. But to have little Mason sing, God's not dead, he's surely alive. Sounds a little different than your hymn. Woo!
Let love explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see a revolution somehow.
let hope arise and make the darkness hide. My faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom, and this world of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Pastor Jim, I'm going to say that again, that line from that song, because I'm declaring that right now. We need revival. We need a revival around this globe. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Amen. Amen. That's wow. Exactly what we need, and maybe this whole corona chaos.
At such a time. I call it the corona calamity.
They call it the corona calamity. What a great time for revival to break
out.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, in our own individual lives, God will turn around what the enemy means for our destruction.
Exactly.
But also worldwide.
Right. How do you do the best advertising? Do you know? It's word of mouth.
Well, sure.
I mean, you can get on TV and you can do ads, and I've done everything with my real estate business through the years. I've knocked on doors. I've mailed out postcards. I've done all kinds of stuff you wouldn't even believe. I do radio ads. I do all kinds of stuff for my real estate business. But I tell you, the best thing is for people to say, hey, you know what? That realtor knew how to handle my situation.
Right.
Right? Word of mouth. So what does Jesus do right here? He does not say, I want you to get a great big advertising company to brand this thing. Verse 7 of Matthew 28, he says, go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead. Behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you. And I mentioned this morning. I think he said go quickly because so often we overthink things, PJ.
No.
Yes.
Well, yeah, God tells you, and it's funny, I just read that very thing in one of my devotionals a couple of days ago. We do tend to overthink. Well, okay, Lord, but what if, I could just see the women thinking, well, what if they don't believe us? Well, you know what? They didn't believe them. But, you know, what if they don't believe us? What if they make fun of us? What if we get stopped by the soldiers? What if, what if, what if? And, Jesus says, just do it. Just be obedient and do it, and do it now.
I don't think there's any time to waste. We have gone, I guess the word is whole hog. We've gone
You're betraying your Hoosier roots.
I am, but you are that too.
Yes, ma'am.
We both went to the same university, guys, Ball State University, and didn't know each other. That's because I was a tad bit older than him, like a couple months. But anyway, so often we just kind of play at church. We don't at Beacon. I'm just saying people in general. They go, what they call them C&E Christians. Those are Christmas and Easter Christians, right? C&E Christians. So many people, they really go through life, and yeah, they love celebrating Christmas and Easter.
But it's the... I know what I want to say, and I don't know how. It's the customs. That's
right,
the word.
The traditions. They
it's
like
the customs
to,
and the traditions.
They like to honor those and keep it going in the family. Mom always did this. We had an Easter egg hunt on Sunday morning behind whoever you know, right?
Right. And yet this, I mean, we mentioned it before. This year it's stripped of all that. You can't go to church. You can't show up in your...
Sunday best.
In your Easter best. I mean, when I was growing up, it was the thing. I got a new little jacket every year.
In your Easter bonnet.
And that's right, with all the frills upon it.
With all the frills upon it.
You know.
You'll be the cutest little boy.
My sisters would all get new dresses, and we'd look our best to go into church on Easter Sunday. And you know what? We couldn't do that this year. We had to get real before God.
We did.
You know, all that customs are gone this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't either. That's the good, the good that's happening here.
I mean, not that I want another round of Corona, but we need to do that with Christmas too.
Well, we just need to get our priorities right. And perhaps this is a wake-up call for a lot of people. We hope it is. Go quickly, verse 7, Matthew 28, and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. He didn't say, go quickly and tell everybody we can't find him. He's lost. Somebody stole him. And because the rest of the sentence is, he's going before you to Galilee. Right. There you're going to see him. The angel talking to the women. Go quickly, tell him, because he's already on his way to Galilee.
Right. If I saw...
He had GPS on him at that time. The angel knew.
If I had just seen this angel glowing as bright as lightning, I think I'd take his word.
Don't you think you'd take his word?
And I also... But I think it's interesting, too. In John's account, Mary got there way... Mary Magdalene came to the tomb a couple of times that day.
Yeah.
She showed up even before... I mean, it was still dark. And the stone was gone, and she, you know, because she ran back and told the disciples,
right,
I don't know where the body is. It's not there.
Right.
And so they were terrified, I'm sure. They didn't know what was going on. Then Mary went back, very likely with the other Marys, the other Mary and Salome and Joanna and all them. She found them. They all went back a second time. And how amazing that Jesus then appeared to them. Oh, I'm sorry. We haven't got that
far. Go ahead.
We haven't got that far. Well, so departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I like that mixture there. Yeah, I'd be a little... I look at this. This fear is kind of being like just in awe. I mean...
Yeah, and all reverence. Whoa. Yeah, whoa.
And great joy. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
great joy.
Wow.
Woo. You know, we talk, you know, what greater joy than to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. They ran to tell his disciples the good news. Just then, Jesus appears to them and says, greetings. They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Just go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. Well, of course, as we know from John, they took their sweet time about it because it took them at least 2 weeks to leave. But, you know, they saw Jesus.
Right.
I mean, that just...
Wow.
that floors me. I mean, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, then he appears to the other women. He shows up on the road to Emmaus in Luke. He shows up to the 11.
Right.
Or, well, there were only 10 because Thomas wasn't there.
We're going to talk about that next week.
You know, he shows up in all those places.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary didn't recognize him at first till he said her name. The disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him. And I find that odd, I guess.
Let's go over to John chapter 20. And while we're finding that, I'm going to play this old song by Don Francisco.
Oh.
You love that song?
Yeah, of course I do.
I know. How old is this song? It's really
It's
old.
Like 80. Oh, no. This is like 82, 83,
yeah,
maybe.
He's alive. Don Francisco.
Late 70s.
John chapter 20.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Mm-hmm. Woo! That's Peter's account, don't you think, Pastor Jim?
Yep, that was...
Because Peter's the one that denied him, even though Jesus said, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows tonight three times. No, no, I'll never do that.
Right. But he did.
But he did.
But we all do. I mean...
Right.
You know, that's a good... good lesson for us too.
I love this. We're in John 20 now. Mary Magdalene comes. She runs to get Peter and the other disciple, who is John, who's writing this. And she said, they've taken away the Lord. Peter and John run. Peter, the other disciple outran Peter because Peter was a lot older than John.
Yeah,
John
chances are.
John was probably early 20s, something.
Very early 20s, and Peter was probably in his 30s by this time.
And stooping down, John, he saw the linen cloths lying there, verse 5 of John 20, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came up, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. But the burial napkin, which had been around Jesus' head, was not lined with the other linen cloths. He was rolled up and laid in a separate place by itself. What do you think about that, Pastor Jim?
Well, I think Jesus
was a neat freak.
Was a neat freak, maybe. I mean,
I knew you were going to say that because I got to think that myself. He just like, okay, no, that shouldn't go there. I need to set that over here. You know.
And the wrapping that had been around his head or on his head was probably, I'm thinking, something that was just extra that was laid across the head, and it was nice and folded up, set aside. I think when they looked, the linen wrappings were just collapsed in place.
I think so too. I think he just like
right through the linen.
Right. Yeah. Came right out. Yeah. I don't think they were unwound and laying there in big stacks. I think it would just like there was a body in there, and now there's no body in there.
There's no body in there.
The wrappings are laying there.
Yeah, and it says that John looked in and saw and believed, but I'm not sure if he believed the whole thing. I think he believed, something happened here, something miraculous. Because the next verse says they didn't yet understand the scripture that said he had to rise from the dead.
Yeah, which is interesting.
You know, John believed something, but I don't know if he fully believed at that point.
Right. Disciples went back to their homes, but Mary remained standing outside the tomb sobbing. I find that interesting. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Now, they leave. Mary stays.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Magdalene. As she wept, she stooped down and looked inside. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you sobbing?" She told them, "Because they've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they've laid him." At this point, she did not still understand, did she?
No, she didn't. She just assumed somebody had taken the body. And apparently these angels weren't glowing.
Right.
Like the other one. And sometimes they don't, you know. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, first of all, here, even if they just appeared as two men sitting in white, laying on the slab where Jesus' body used to be, I don't know if I would have answered that way. It's like, what are you two doing in here? Get out.
Yeah.
You know. And yet, you know, she does say, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they put him." And then comes the answer. No other way to put that. You know, she just thought he was the gardener.
Yeah, she turns around,
there's Jesus. And he says, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" And I think the question of the angels and Jesus were trying to elicit the answer. Well, I think he rose from the dead, but I'm not sure yet. Because remember, it was the other angel that told them, the women, that Jesus had risen from the dead.
Right.
Right now, nobody knows what happened. Because this is way way early in the morning, and nobody knows quite what happened at this point. And then...
Go ahead.
Well, and then, you know, she turns around. She tells him, I don't know where they put him. She turned around and saw Jesus. And maybe it's because she has so many tears in her eyes. I mean, it's possible. She didn't recognize him, but again, neither did the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I love this. You know, sir, if you carried him away, just tell me where you put him. I'll take him. I'll take the body off your hands. And then he just says, Mary.
He calls her by name.
Woo! And, you know, she recognized him, Rabbi or Rabboni, which means teacher. I love that. He calls her by name. He revealed himself to her when he called her by name. On the road to Emmaus, he revealed himself when they broke bread. Now, I don't think it was anything to have to do with the Lord's Supper. They just broke bread for dinner.
They were just having dinner.
Jesus blessed it and broke it, and all of a sudden, their eyes were open.
Right, yeah. So, when he calls her by name, her eyes are open. And I love that in Isaiah 43, where it says that he knows us by name. Mm-hmm. We are his.
I've called you by name.
You are mine. Dear one, let's apply this to you right now. Sometimes we go through life for a long time, and we're kind of blinded to the story of the resurrection of Jesus. We know that people say that, and we celebrate Easter, and we have Easter eggs and all that, but it doesn't become personal for us until the scales come off of our eyes. Which takes us to Romans 8:11. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which is God Almighty, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, how does the Spirit of God dwell in you, dear listener? By you accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, he comes and he lives on the inside of you. Romans 8:11 is one of the best, the most amazing chapters in the whole Bible. If the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's talking about rising again. That's talking about if you have Jesus on the inside of you and you believe that he is your Lord and Savior, you trust him and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've said, come and live in me. You've invited him in. If you have done that, the very spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies. The word there for life in the Greek is Zoe, and that's why I named my dog Zoe many years ago. And it means the God kind of life, mm-hmm. right? And it also has in the meaning of that word, I make, you know? In other words, God makes something of us that we can't make of ourselves. Resurrected people living with him forevermore in heaven. And that day will come when we die, when we are raised up. Go ahead.
Well, I think I've noticed it more this year. The resurrection links directly to the second coming and our own resurrection.
It does.
You know, if it wasn't for Jesus' resurrection, well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins.
Yes.
So by his resurrection,
yes.
Jesus has made it possible for us to know him, mm-hmm. to know the power of the resurrection.
Amen.
To have the spirit of who raised Jesus from the dead live inside of us.
Amen. Woo, that's life-changing.
It is life-changing.
Because no longer do we have to live, it says here in chapter 8 of Romans, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, verse 13, you'll surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall freely and genuinely live forever. So you enter into a new realm of living when you accept Jesus right. as your Lord and Savior, and he comes and lives on the inside of you.
Amen. I mean, you do. Well, you pass from life to death, or death to life. Sorry, got that one mixed up. But you do. You pass out of death into life. And we're all, until we meet Jesus, spiritually dead. We're separated from God because of our sins. And, you know, you can say, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm a philanthropist. I'm not an evil person. And that may be. But God is perfectly holy.
Yes.
Perfectly righteous. And everything we try to do is going to be imperfect.
Go to John 5:25, and we'll talk about that very thing. And you're right. I love these words of Jesus. As you were talking, it reminded me of this verse. Jesus says in John 5:25, believe me when I assure you, and most solemnly I tell you, the time is coming. And is here now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. There's a lot of people out there in this world that are dead. You say, you mean physically dead? No, they're dead. They're dead to the voice of God. They don't want to hear it. They want to do their own thing. Jesus said, the time is coming, and here now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it shall live. Verse 26, for even as the Father has life in himself and is self-existent, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and he is self-existent. Verse 28 of John 5, do not be surprised and wonder at this, for the time is coming when all of those who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. I talked about that today on the Facebook post, that when Jesus died on the cross, tombs opened in Jerusalem. After he came out of the tomb, the risen Lord, some of those old saints walked around Jerusalem. Now, I want to hear all about that story when I get to heaven.
Yeah, me too.
I want to hear about Moses and David and whoever was out there walking around. But I guess this is what this is saying is, people, do you have your ears on? There's a song we like to do at church, The Master's Calling. Listen while you still can hear. Kneel while your knees still bend. Listen while you can still hear.
Right.
Are you listening to the voice of God in this Easter season this year? Has he become real to you? Does he live on the inside of you? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to pray right after me. If you do not know for sure that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we want to give you that opportunity right now.
Amen.
It consists of believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. It consists of asking God to forgive you of your sins, anything you've done that was not pleasing to him. It consists of inviting him to live on the inside of you. Pray this with us. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father.
I believe that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father.
And I know that I need to accept you, Lord, as my personal Lord and Savior.
And I know that I need to accept you, Lord, as my personal Lord and Savior.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I ask you to come and live on the inside of me.
I ask you to come and live on the inside of me.
I want the assurance that when I die, I will be in your presence.
I want the assurance that when I die, I will be in your presence.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Why did we do that, Pastor Jim?
Because it's our calling. You know, God has laid it on the heart, on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that there's too many weeks that go by, at least when I'm on here, I know, that we don't do,
we do that a lot.
We
sure.
give the opportunity for
give
people
the opportunity.
To come to know Jesus. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Your eternity is in the balance.
It is.
And, you know, like I said before, you can say, well, I'm a good person. I do this. I do that. Yeah, but how do you measure up to God? And all of us have fallen short of God's glory.
Right, God sure.
God's perfection. We can't even hope
for
to
all
touch
have sinned
that.
And come short of the glory of God.
Right. And we can try, but all that gets is frustration.
Yeah.
And God in Jesus provided full satisfaction, full atonement, full forgiveness for your sins.
And if you prayed that prayer right now, you know what's going on in heaven? There's a party.
Yeah.
The Bible says, Jesus said they rejoice, the angels rejoice in heaven. It might sound something like this. Yeah, can't do anything but do a woo right there, don't you think, Pastor Jim?
I can't wait to see George Frideric Handel leading the angelic choir singing that song.
Woo! That's going to be powerful, is it not? Wow. Wow. I tell you, every year we play that, and we probably should play it more during the year because it's such an amazing worship song.
Yes, it is. You know, you don't sometimes think of Baroque music as worship songs.
And I'll tell you, that is amazing.
That one and the very last, well, two songs. It's a song and a long amen of the Messiah. Worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah.
I tell you,
yeah,
that reaches down into my spirit and just pulls me right into the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Why do we want to be in the presence of God? What happens?
He ministers to us and we minister to him. When you're in God's presence, all this stuff we've been talking about, the resurrection power of Jesus and all that, that's when we grasp it. That's when it begins to work in our lives. You don't get it from reading books. You don't get it from knowing about God. You get it by having an intimate relationship with God where you're in fellowship with him. You're in his presence.
Yes.
Letting him minister to you and you minister back in praise and worship. That's how that power then begins to be manifested.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it not so we can just keep it to ourselves, so we can have woo-woo feelings and, you know, slain in the spirit, fall under the power. He does it to equip us for ministry, to do the things like we've done today, to minister life to people. That's the whole purpose.
That's what it's all about. And what a glorious way to spend a day.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I'd rather do than do what we've done all day long. And even though the devil tried messing us up with music and computer problems morning for 90 minutes, 1 minute till 10.
Right.
And we started the service on time. God got glory through all of that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people, no matter what you're going through, God wants to get glory in your situation. He loves you. He cares about you. You may be ill today. And if you are, we pronounce healing over you.
Amen.
In the precious name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to reach down and touch our brothers and sisters wherever they may be. If they have corona, or if they're just ill in some other way, or maybe it's mental issues or emotional problems or financial, God, you know who they are. You know where they are. We don't know, but you know, because you know all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, we ask right now, we pronounce a blessing on them all, and we ask that you reach down into their lives and touch them with your healing power. Lord, let the truth of the words that have gone out over the airwaves in these 2 hours permeate hearts and change them forever. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Final word from you before we play the Handel's Messiah again.
Okay.
We're going to pray Hallelujah Chorus again. Go ahead.
Well, the earliest church, well, not the earliest, not in the book of it, but shortly after that time, at Passover Resurrection Day time, their greeting would be, you know, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And Augustine said, we are resurrection people. And that's, you know, underlying it, that's kind of what the theme could this
That's what
this
it
whole
is.
Day
that's
could
who
be.
We are. We're resurrection
we are
people.
Resurrection people.
Amen.
We are empowered
are.
By the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
We are. Pastor Jim, you're a blessing. God bless
you.
So are
you, Pastor. God bless.
All right. We're going to let you all hear this as we go. Check out our website, bohmglobal.com. Check out our Facebook post, mine and BOHM, Global. It's there somewhere. I'm tired, PJ. I've been up since 5. I've been up since 3. Just praying today. Praise God. It's been a great day. Thank you, Lord. You get all the glory and the praise. Hallelujah.